Welcome, everybody, to Soccer 101, the show in which we delve deeper into the topics, the questions, the issues that might confound or confuse, or in this case, entertain. I am Taylor Rockwell. Today I'm joined by Mr. Graham Ruthven. Graham, it's a show 31-ish years in the making. We're talking the FIFA video game.
Hello, Taylor. How are you? Are you as nervous as I am coming across as a boomer when talking about computer games today? Do they still call them computer games? That term in itself feels a bit boomery.
I would say video games, and even that is probably boomery. Oh man, we are old. I am more nervous because I think I like the FIFA franchise. I enjoy playing video game soccer. There are people who have made genuine careers out of it, out of it, livelihoods out of it, and I have a feeling if we don't cover it well and do it full justice, some people might be angry, Graham. I feel like we risk enraging the nerd masses. Do you have a same level of fear about this one?
Well, the thing is, I was part of those nerd masses for FIFA. Is the thing I lost about 3 years of my life to as a teenager. So I was part of that world. I've kind of fallen out of it the last 10 years, although I still buy it. Most years, I certainly bought it this year because it was rebranded to something else. We'll talk about that later on. But yeah, it's something that I have a certain degree of familiarity to. It was a big part of my life for a period.
So let's start there. What's your first memory of FIFA? What's the first game you're playing? What's the first console? What year are you first getting into it?
So FIFA 98 World Cup was I think that was the first FIFA I had. Did we mention that on the show at some other point this week? I don't know why that's come up twice in the same week, but I had that for the PlayStation and potentially for the Game Boy as well. FIFA on the Game Boy, by the way, a very different experience back then. Very primitive at that time. I have it for
the... How does that work?
Well, the short answer is it doesn't really work. I have it for the Switch now, but the Switch kind of is at least trying to imitate the experience on the kind of larger consoles. But on the Game Boy, back then it was very pixely, shall we say.
Yes.
But it wasn't until I was a teenager that I really started committing like hours every day to FIFA. I would play career modes. But most often, to be honest, I'd just go to a friend's house and we would play each other in the tournament over and over again and we'd keep a score over the course of the full season. I did this until I was like 20 years old, like not even that long ago, like 10 years ago. I guess that's not nothing. But nonetheless, I did it into like early adulthood. And back then, this is where FIFA has changed quite a bit since then. You didn't really have like the ultimate team game modes, which, or if you did, it wasn't quite as popular as now. I think a lot of people play that game through Ultimate Team. That is the prism they view the whole thing through. So that wasn't really a thing. But yeah, that's how I used to play FIFA. What about you? When did you used to play? What was the first time you remember playing it?
So I think my introduction to it would have been at my friend's house on the Sega Genesis in like 1994, 95. So fairly early on.
Early days.
Yeah, the first ones were available for the Sega Mega Drive. I don't even know what that was, but that was in 93 is when it first starts being produced. So early on, but I also think that might not have actually been FIFA because that was a World Cup one where you just had sort of generic countries. Like I remember Qatar being an option in that one and always beating them like 15-1. But yeah, it's definitely more the mid 90s. The road to the World Cup one definitely was pretty formative in my experience. And then there's a computer iteration. I forget what year that would have been that had like indoor where you're playing on like a parquet floor. That was an option for one of the leagues. So I remember doing that. And that was my introduction to like every Italian being good. And that's how I knew a lot of like, I knew George Weah from that video game before I knew George Weah, the player, for sure. And Costa Curta was another one of those. Maldini definitely loomed large because of playing with him on FIFA and always transferring him into whatever team I was playing with. And I think, Graham, that is sort of the key thing, what makes FIFA so, I don't know, important in like my soccer memories is just that it is, I think for a lot of people, their introduction to soccer, to tactics, to the players, to the clubs, whatever it may be, because especially nowadays, it covers so many different leagues and so many different players that if you don't have time to watch all the games, or if you're a 12-year-old who doesn't really want to sit down and watch an hour and a half long game, you might want to play 2 6-minute halves of soccer. And that's going to bring that familiarity. That's going to bring that enthusiasm for the game that I think might otherwise not exist.
It's absolutely huge, and we'll talk about the impact that it's had on football a little bit later, but it's the best-selling sports video game franchise in the world. As of 2021, over 325 million copies have been sold around the world. On any Sunday, which is the day, this makes sense, but I hadn't really thought about this. Sunday is the day that most FIFA is played around the world. Maybe a lot of hungover people playing FIFA on a Sunday. I've been there. But every Sunday, more than 200 million FIFA matches take place around the world. Every Sunday. That is a ridiculous, ridiculous number. The game is worth more than $2 billion a year to EA Sports, which is the production house that makes it. There are apparently over 150 million players of FIFA every single year. That's just individual players. So just like incredible numbers. It is the, when you think about it, it is the largest football product. Like, bigger than the Premier League, bigger than the Champions League. When you put those sort of numbers on it, it's particularly the revenue. You look at like the revenue of Manchester City or Manchester United, they're nowhere near the revenue of FIFA as a game. I know it's not a, you know, a perfect analogy. We're kind of comparing apples and oranges here. But nonetheless, those things kind of just underline how big it is. And just in terms of the history, the first ever FIFA, so you say you started playing in 94, 95, Taylor, that's really so close to the start of FIFA. The first ever FIFA was made in 1993.
I'm trying to remember, there's a chance, because I would have been like 9 or 10 around that time. So I'm not sure if I'm like sort of crushing memories together, or as I said, if it's a different iteration. There was definitely the other like alternative game where if you hit a bicycle, it would do a loop-de-loop and it was impossible to save. I think that was a different format that was not FIFA.
Was that related. Sensible Soccer?
That might be.
Yes. Yeah. Sensible Soccer was a thing for a while, but slightly before my time, but yeah, I remember people playing Sensible Soccer. But yeah, you can trace it back to 1993. In 1993, it costs $30,000 to develop. In contrast, the current games cost about $350 million. That's every edition cost $350 million to develop. So it had modest beginnings, and it wasn't until 1996 that the game obtained the license needed to have real player names and teams and in leagues. And as I say, the first FIFA I can truly remember buying and playing to death was the FIFA for the France 98 World Cup. And actually, reading about this from my research, that was a real landmark game. The graphics were much improved, had a full qualifying cycle, or at least the road to, which is a separate game actually, to 98 World Cup, had a full qualifying cycle, which I used to do with Scotland. It was the best-selling FIFA game until that point. And if you look at the first couple FIFA games in the early 90s, and then the games towards the end of the decade, which of course is not a huge period of time, the improvement is huge. Like, year on year, they were making huge strides forwards in those games. And I don't think that happens to the same extent now. Like,
no,
FIFA 23 is pretty much the same as FIFA 22 and then FIFA 21. But yeah, there was a huge, huge developmental surge at that point. And the first few games, I went back and looked at like FIFA 93, 94. They have this sort of like bird's eye 2D view, but that very quickly transforms into the 3D mobile camera sort of game. The camera moves around with the players that we recognize today. Obviously, telecam. Obviously, the graphics are very primitive at that point, but in terms of the structure of the game and how we envisage these games to look on TV, very quickly, EA Sports settled on that, and that was one of the things that differentiated them from the other soccer games and made them such a huge part of soccer culture.
Agreed. At the same time, I do think other competitors, specifically Pro Evo, which is now something else entirely, because that's how this goes apparently, does help sort of push it in that direction. To my understanding, the original iterations, the 2D stuff, are a bit more arcadey, and I think Pro Evo pushes them in the direction, pushes FIFA in the direction of being just a little bit more realistic, a little bit more accurate, or resembling actual soccer. And obviously we have continued to move in that direction since, but there have been other developments worth noting as well. You mentioned Road to 98. I believe I'm correct in saying that's the first one that has the like official designated soundtrack, where you have the title song for a good long while. Every iteration of FIFA has the main theme, the title song for the game, that then also has a corresponding soundtrack. Road to 98 was the first, I believe, and is that the one with Song 2 by Blur as the opening song?
It might have been the World Cup itself, the tournament, the game for the tournament itself, but yeah, Song 2 by Blur is, in my opinion, I think, the most iconic FIFA song. And it's funny how, like, that's become a genre in its own right. So I think, like, Block Party tunes are always very FIFA-y. I saw just last week, and I'll put this in the Discord if anyone's interested. I'll send it to you, Taylor, certainly. There was a song by, like, an unsigned London kind of rap rock hybrid band. And it had like 30,000 retweets because this person had identified they've accidentally made like a generational FIFA anthem. It totally was. It was a FIFA song. So I just think that's funny how that's become a genre in itself. And that's a massive part of the game as the music, which you wouldn't really, I can't imagine when they initially created the game in 1993 that they envisaged that would be a part of the game, but it totally is. It's a big cultural footprint that it has.
And you have that sort of rotating soundtrack now when you're in career mode or when you're going through the menus, so that you don't get too bored of the game. You don't just get the looped sort of instrumental stuff over and over and over again. And that has become, I think, part and parcel of every iteration of FIFA is a new soundtrack. They got rid of the title theme, but you still get sort of the soundtracks that then will play in your head, depending on how long you play. If it is, you know, for many, many hours, you're going to start to become very familiar with those songs. Graham, what other developments have we seen maybe more recently?
So there are a lot of different game modes now, which I think is where EA Sports have put a lot of their a lot of their focus recently. So I'm just going to run through some of the game modes here, and I'll finish off with the one that I've already mentioned, the Ultimate Team, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Kickoff is just the standard quick game option. You can either play a friend or you can play against the computer, and you kind of select the difficulty, or it selects the difficulty for you more recently in the last 10 years. You have tournaments, which allow you to create your own tournament or play a season in an existing league like the Premier League or whatever. You have online seasons, which is playing against other people online in the context of a full season. You've got clubs, which used to be called pro clubs when I was younger. People might know what that is. That it's basically you create an avatar and you play your position on the pitch with other online users and your friends in kind of like a normal 11v11 match. You've got career modes, which is a mode that allows you to play like a lifelong football career, going from one club to the next, to the next, to the next. You've got Volta, which is not... I never click on Volta when it's in the menu.
Nor do I.
It's apparently a sort of street football mode. My reading of that is FIFA Street. I don't know if you remember that, Taylor, but FIFA Street was really popular for a while, or it certainly was in my social circles. And they've kind of brought it in-house and integrated it into the main game. And then you have Ultimate Team, which is almost like a sort of FIFA / fantasy soccer hybrid game where you build a team, you earn players through achievements, or you can buy those players, or rather you buy the coins, which then allow you to sign the players. Every year, EA Sports makes $650 million from the sale of virtual packs alone. And even if you don't play Ultimate Team, so I kind of dabble in Ultimate Team. What happens is at the start of every season, I say, I'm going to get into Ultimate Team this year. I've got the new FIFA. I play it for like a few weeks, and then I kind of just go back to playing online against random kids in like different parts of the world. But even if you don't play Ultimate Team, you'll be familiar with any time you have Googled a player's name, it comes up with that player's name, FUT, FIFA Ultimate Team. Or if you're on social media, I'm sure you'll have seen videos of people opening the packs and being excited with the player that they get. The card kind of like spins round and there's a graphic and the player's there. So that's Ultimate Team, which has kind of become a real driver for FIFA in recent years. And as I say, there are a lot of people who that's the prism they view FIFA through. That's the game for them is Ultimate Team.
Let's talk about that a bit more, because that is a fairly foreign concept to me. I always assumed, I guess erroneously, that Ultimate Team is a system of you get rewarded for winning online. It sounds like that is very incorrect. So are you playing online, or how do you...
Yeah.
What's the point of building an Ultimate Team? Who are you playing against?
So when you start Ultimate Team, there are tasks that you can complete. So there'll be like, you ever done the training arena in FIFA? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there'll be like training arena tasks, and you build up your coins. So you can earn players ultimately, I guess, because you use the coins to buy players. That way, you at the start of the game just kind of get given a random team. So think of it like a fantasy team. You have like 11 players and you get given a random team. So you could have, I remember when I did it this year, I had Ilkay Gundogan in my team from the start, but I also had a right back from AFC Wimbledon. So that's kind of like the variance that you get initially. And I guess the idea is to build up your achievements so that you can then replace the Wimbledon right back with someone who plays on the level with Ilkay Gundogan. But this is where it's a little bit more confusing. I can't give you a full answer there, Taylor, because there are tasks where you can earn coins and you can build up that way. There are also online games and online leagues that you... It's an entire ecosystem within FIFA itself. It's almost like you enter a different game when you go into Ultimate Team. So it's kind of a bit of everything. You have tasks, you have online games, you have leagues, you have career well, not so much career modes, but you have like longer achievements that you can build up so you can build buy players.
And then more recently, they added the individual player feature for career mode and for, I think, just actual gameplay, where career mode, you can be the manager and you can make all your signings and that. And then in the game, you're playing as every single player, or you can go the individual player route where you create a player, usually a youngster, and then you have them develop through, and they don't like necessarily start off starting for your team, especially if they're a good team, but you work your way in, and then you're only playing as that player in the game. You can do it from, I believe, like their perspective if you want to, or you can play from the usual camera angle.
Yeah.
How similar is that to clubs, Graham? Because I'm not familiar at all with clubs either.
So clubs is more a social experience. So you're talking about like a full career. You're talking about the Alex Hunter thing, right? You remember Alex Hunter? FIFA created Alex Hunter, who was this fictional player one season, and then they had all their advertising campaigns around him and viral videos, and that was to promote what you're talking about. Clubs is more if you've got a group of friends who are like in different parts of the world. Like for the four of us, essentially, we would play clubs, we'd all have an avatar, and then we'd be in the same game together. If that makes sense.
It does. You mentioned the option of purchasing players for your ultimate team. In your mind, Graham, how much has the microtransaction aspect of FIFA come on board? Because I haven't played this present year's iteration. I think the last three I have. And there's always that you can buy different balls, different cleats, different like hairstyles and stuff like that. Do you feel like that's become a key part, or is that still an optional part of FIFA?
Oh, it's still definitely an optional part. As I say, the Ultimate Teams, the way they've integrated into the game, it's like a portal into another world when you go through Ultimate Team. And the existing world the old world, whatever you want to call it, still exists. You can still play FIFA the way that we used to play it when we were younger. That still exists. But it's very much aligned with what is happening in the wider gaming world. I don't pretend to be a massive gamer. Every year I get FIFA, every year I get Call of Duty, and then every year I get some other game, whether it's like a Star Wars game or something. That's pretty much it. That's the games I play every year. So I would never pretend to be a big gamer. But I know it is a trend. Microtransactions are a trend in other games. You read stories every so often about that 10-year-old kid who has racked up a bill of $20,000 on his dad's credit card on Fortnite, buying different outfits and different haircuts and so on. So I don't think FIFA didn't invent the kind of microtransaction culture that exists now. I think they very much recognized that it was a train that they needed to get on board with, and it certainly helps when it makes them, what was the number I said, $650 million a year from the sale of that's just virtual packs alone. So it's a real moneymaker for them.
So they're doing all right, it sounds like. Graham, I mentioned this earlier on. I feel like it's had a pretty sizable impact, especially here in the United States, in terms of the popularity, the growth of the popularity of the sport, but just also a greater understanding. If you're not going to games, if you're not going to professional games, or it's not a part of your culture or identity, I think FIFA is a way to learn about clubs, to learn about different leagues, to learn about different players, but also to, like, really stressing this, if you want to get even more into the weeds, to learn about tactics and to try to emulate, I want to play a Red Bull pressing style. How do I do that? I want to play a Barcelona tiki-taka possession style, or a Pep style, or a Klopp style. Like, you can do all those things, especially in career mode, to sort of evolve your team and have them play that way, and then learn about the intricacies involved therein. And sometimes for me, it then reveals the importance of certain players who, like, I think I always, especially as a kid, would go for, like, everyone has to be 99 speed or like 90 plus speed and acceleration. And I think as you go, you learn, but maybe also like passing accuracy is kind of important. Short and long range passing and agility can be really important if you need a defender who can kind of, or a midfielder who can dribble through some of that press. So I think in that way, it's helped me learn about the different styles, the different players, but then also the different, or the importance of different skill sets and abilities as well.
I even think from a technical, or maybe mechanical is a better word to use there, there are surely lessons for young players who are just getting into football as well. Like I'm thinking of, you know, there's a bouncing ball and you're off balance, and if you shoot in that situation, yep, it's going to fly over the bar. Like there's a lesson in that. Like as a young player, I know it's a video game, so you need to execute the technical lessons, but there is a lesson nonetheless. And I think it's such an important part of the way that young fans get into soccer. Yeah. I think it's an entry portal into becoming a fan. I found a 2014 ESPN poll that said that 34% of Americans became soccer fans as a result of playing FIFA. And it also said half of all Americans say that the game has increased their interest in the sport. So I don't think those numbers will have dropped over the last 10 years. I found a number of studies that conclude FIFA has played a big role in increasing the popularity and visibility of soccer in the States. It's an easy game to play, I think, is key. It works in social settings. There's the scene in Superbad where they're playing FIFA at the party. Like, there are other games. Like, you're not gonna sit down and play Call of Duty at a party, are you? Like, that's not something that I would really imagine. So, itself to the mass market, FIFA, and I have no doubts that FIFA has pushed soccer forward around the world, but particularly in the US, where there was a time when soccer needed to gain that mainstream recognition, and I think FIFA helped that.
Dude, to your point, like, I guess you could do that with Call of Duty. I feel like sometimes in college people would do that with Halo, but for the most part, like, the lead up to parties would often be like in someone's room playing FIFA until a point where everybody had some drinks, and then out we would go. But like, yeah, the importance of FIFA as a social hang cannot be overstated. For the enjoyment aspect of things, Graham, I think it's really interesting the point you make about the mechanics and teaching the mechanics. Because I remember early iterations, like if you hit shoot, the player was shooting. If they were facing the wrong way and had people in front of them, it did not matter. They would somehow manage to like shoot with their right foot, even though they were entirely facing the opposite direction. I do love that as it's gone on, the physics have improved such that if you want to shoot but you're off balance, the game will incorporate that. And then either you have those like extra couple seconds as your player has to adjust to then be in a realistic shooting position, or they don't, and then they sky their chance or miss horrifically. And I think that also does sort of give you a more realistic appreciation for how it's played and how you can create better, more high percentage scoring opportunities. So it does also, I think, help inform as you get more realistic. The interesting thing for me, Graham, as we move into the current era, the present situation, is that we keep calling it FIFA,
yeah,
and it is no longer called FIFA, and I don't know if I will be able to kind of get my head around that. Certainly not now, but maybe not for the foreseeable future either.
Yeah, so as of this year, FIFA, the game, is actually no more. It is now called EA Sports FC, or as most of my friends shorten it, to EAFC, or just FC. That's a lot of people like fancy game of FC. I quite like that as a name, actually, because it's big enough that FC, they can kind of claim that FC tag, so it works, but most people just still call it FIFA. There has been a breakup with FIFA, the governing body, over the use of the name. It basically came down to money. So FIFA wanted to double the license fee to $300 million a year, which EA Sports basically laughed at and walked away. There is a bit more to the story in that EA wanted to do more with the rights. They wanted to enter the world of NFTs at a time anyway, at least when the negotiation was up. I'm not sure if they want to do that now. That bubble has kind of popped. But they want to enter the world of esports, which is an increasingly big thing. And with the FIFA license, that's FIFA that handles all that. It's like the FIFA Esports World Cup, and EA Sports wanted to kind of do their own stuff. The last license agreement stopped them from doing that. But the general sense is that FIFA, meaning the organization, the governing body, wildly overplayed its hand here. So at the time of the split, Infantino said FIFA was going to create its own game, and it would be the number one soccer game in the world. That was about 18 months ago, and nothing has happened since then. And I just think there's a huge misunderstanding of the resources and the workforce that goes into producing a game like this. Like EA Sports is a gaming giant. They don't just produce FIFA, they produce games like Madden and PGA Tour and the NBA game and countless games, countless sports games they produce. And they know what they're doing. They have a staff of thousands. They have campuses. I think FIFA is largely developed in their Vancouver campus, but they have campuses around the world and different continents. They invest hundreds of millions into these games every year. It is hubris to the point of being embarrassing that Gianni Infantino thinks FIFA can just overtake them by making their own game. Like, it's just not that easy. There will never be, I'm confident in saying this, maybe they partner with another, you know, production house, another gaming company. That might happen. Maybe that's how FIFA is revived. But if it's FIFA developing their own game, that will never happen. We will never see that game.
I do kind of want it to be like a realistic simulator, and then you have to like bribe members to get the tournaments you want, and you have to like like, this host nation has a questionable human rights record for 50 points. Like you're going to like lose like human rights standing. I think that should be the realistic emulator for FIFA as an organization. Graham, as someone who has not then played EA Sports FC, what has that breakup led to? Is it because I think my understanding was that that meant they lost the licenses to everything. So we were just going to get like made up teams and leagues. How different is it from, say, FIFA 23?
It's basically the same game.
Okay.
I mean, there are little subtle differences. You know that every year there are little tweaks to the gameplay. So I remember one year in FIFA, there was a year we just couldn't score one-on-ones. Like, I don't know what was going on. And then the next year they changed that.
Easy.
So the gameplay might be a little bit different, but in terms of the bones of the game, it's the same game.
So what is the split meant then? You just can't call it FIFA? They don't have like FIFA tournaments?
They don't have FIFA tournaments. They don't have the FIFA brand name. Like, that's basically the only difference. That's why I say FIFA wildly overplayed their hand. They were getting $150 million every year for nothing. Like, EA Sports just gave them the money to use the name, and they've given up that money now because what? Hubris? Like, I don't fully understand it. Now, it is important to note EA have suffered a little bit as well because their sales this year are down quite significantly, 30%. So that maybe tells you that that brand name was worth something. But I don't expect that to have a long-term impact. They've got, you know, the track record, they've got the gameplay, they hold the license agreements with all the best leagues and all the clubs, they sponsor La Liga, they get players doing viral videos to market it. Nobody's going to catch them anytime soon, certainly not Gianni Infantino.
So I will say the reason why I haven't gotten this one or why I haven't played this year, I tend to be a career mode player. I don't really love online. I feel like that. I do think the gameplay is different. Online is a lot more trickery, and I think is, like, if you're good at that, it must be very fun. For a person who is not always trying different moves, it is very not fun, and I tend to get dunked on pretty often. So maybe that's part of it, but it never really appealed to me that much, and especially in the era of getting, I don't know, racist abuse hurled at me by a 12-year-old is also not my favorite thing. So I tended to play career mode, and the past like three versions of the game have been the exact same thing. Maybe a few little differences, but even like the animations and the skins for the generic managers and the dialogue you can have when you're negotiating a transfer, it's all the exact same. And so there comes a point where it's like, why am I paying $70 and $80 for a video game that does the exact same thing as the last one, except that the rosters are updated?
So New kits, Taylor. That's the reason.
I mean, is that all it is? Like, I think I wish there were, I don't know what it would look like, but I wish there were ways to make career mode just more engaging, more interesting. Maybe that like strays too far into Football Manager at that point, and maybe that's why they're like not trying to do that. But I think it's the animations and the exact same like weird like old school animation of like they're not even trying to make the mouth sync up to the words that are being said, and it just feels very like you have the same weird cartoonish animation of a guy waving his hands around as you're negotiating like a £20 million transfer. It just feels lazy.
So I think you've struck upon the thing that Pro Evolution ultimately landed on. So Pro Evo, as I'm sure you're aware, Taylor, big competitor to FIFA. I've always been a FIFA kid, but there was a point about 15 years ago where there was a recognition that Pro Evo actually had the better gameplay. And I think FIFA basically stole a lot of their ideas and then sort of re-established itself as the best. Just some numbers here on that rivalry. In 2017... FIFA sold 40 times more copies than Pro Evo. So when people talk about a rivalry, it's a little bit like, I don't know, what would that rivalry be? Like Stirling Albion versus Falkirk. There's a clear dominant force.
Yes, that's the reference we all get. Yes.
That's the reference. Well, some listeners might get it. I don't know. What, Leeds United, Man United? I don't know. What is the Scotland, England? I don't really want to make that comparison, but maybe that is the appropriate one. But anyway, FIFA's always been the dominant force. But in 2020... Pro Evo rebranded to eFootball, and I've never played eFootball, so maybe someone can tell me if I've got the wrong understanding of this, but my reading of it is that eFootball became this kind of like subscription game, so you would pay a subscription to the game rather than buying a new game every year. It's been a complete disaster. They've lost even more market share to the point where I can't even remember seeing anyone play it recently. It barely makes any impression. I mean, that game title, eFootball, do you hear anyone say that? Do you see that anywhere? Like, Pro Evo still has the brand recognition over eFootball. So I don't know whether FIFA looked at that and thought their model of like buying a new game every year, for one thing, makes them more money. And for the second thing, every year they get this bump of publicity where FIFA is everywhere and players are promoting it and stuff like that. So that it might be more a kind of financial decision than what makes the best game decision.
Pro Evo also, like, I heard that same stuff about the better gameplay. I think I tried it once. And the thing that lost me there was that was at a time period when they did not get the licenses for players and clubs. And so you would get, like, the Manchester United Red or Manchester Reds, and then you would have like Riggs as your left midfielder.
The North Ashburton Reds, or I think were Arsenal, like, or something to that effect.
And I do think, for me at least, that is not nearly as fun. For it, like if it's going to be a completely fantasy soccer game, like, make it a fantasy soccer game. I guess I'm not even sure what that looks like. Maybe you have wands, but when you're, I think if you want to play, like, as a club or as a national team, you kind of want it to be the real players. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that makes me a strange person. But that has also led to FIFA / EA Sports FC also not having rights to certain clubs. Do you have an understanding, Graham, of how that has worked? Why certain Italian clubs, like why you play as like Piemonte Calcio instead of and like Calcio Bergamo or whatever instead of like Atalanta? There's a few Serie A clubs that seem to have said no thank you to esports.
I could be wrong here, but is that not just a case of they've sold their rights to someone else? So maybe eFootball, as I say, I've never played eFootball since it rebranded into 2020. Maybe those clubs are in eFootball as the licensed one. I mean, that's certainly how it works with, I mean, the other football game that's been a big part of my life, maybe even a bigger part of my life, is Football Manager, which of course is a simulation game, which is a little bit of a different type of game. It's for the nerds, and I am a nerd. But that's certainly the case with Football Manager. There are certain teams, like Manchester United famously said they didn't want to be in Football Manager, like quite actively didn't want to be in Football Manager. I don't know whether that's because if you got a lot of people in Football Manager like winning the Premier League title as Manchester United, it makes their flaws look even worse. But they didn't want to be part of Football Manager. So they're now like a Man U FC or something in Football Manager. It's just I think it's just a case of either they've decided they don't want to sell their rights to FIFA or whoever, EA Sports, or they've sold it to somewhere else, I think, is the reason.
Graham, I've very much enjoyed this episode. I feel like we could do another several hours on the FIFA video game. And I am a person who, like, one of my favorite books I've read in the last 20 years is Console Wars, which is the history of the war between Nintendo and Sega. I found that to be particularly fascinating. So I might title this as like an introduction to the history and evolution of FIFA, but then reserve the right for us to do more episodes about like how player licensing works and club licensing has worked, about maybe the possible future evolution of the game, advancements we would like to see. But I feel like for now, we've dipped our toe in enough that I feel like we've got a good understanding. Hopefully listeners do as well. Any other things you'd like to add before we call this 101?
What I'm hearing there, Taylor, is big summer TSS FIFA tournament. That's what I'm hearing
there. I'm in. Yes. So we'll get everybody in one location, and then everybody will just gang up to beat Ryan.
We don't have to be in one.
No.
We don't even one location.
No, we're not doing
we
online.
Have this thing called the internet.
No, absolutely not. That would be interesting. Okay. That would maybe make me dip my toe into the online gaming aspect of things. So that could be cool. A TSS virtual tournament. Graham, it sounds like you're willing to organize this. Thanks for that.
Just as long as it's on PlayStation, because that's one I own.
See, this is the problem, because I have an Xbox, so now we're at war already. Was Pro Evo more of a PlayStation thing, or am I misremembering?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Possibly.
That's kind of what I remember, it being, and that was also part of why it never appealed, because I've always been more of an Xbox person. Maybe I should try PlayStation next time around, Graham. But for now, thank you for talking about all things FIFA video game with me. Hopefully we don't get sued by Gianni Infantino for saying FIFA 4,000 times.
Thank you, Taylor Rotwell.
Listeners, thanks so much for listening. We very much appreciate you all supporting Soccer 101. Please tell your friends or anybody you think might enjoy getting these sort of deeper looks into evergreen topics. We very much appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.